Keith Urban, his amazing journey from daydreamer to superstar. Written by Jeff Abter and read by Ant Nate. I'm standing in the guest area at the Nashville Fairgrounds, the site of the annual country music fanfare, chatting with some Australians who've flown over for the event. One of them, a country music insider, has nudged me, nodding in the direction of Keith Urban, who's just joined the Oz contingent. There are some people here that Keith hasn't seen since shifting to the USA in 1992, and he's catching up. Keith's done it tough, you know, I'm told. It's mid-afternoon, and a trio of hopefuls, Troy Cassadaly, Gina Jeffries, and Shanley Dell, are about to take the stage. Part of an Australian showcase, they hope to catch the eye and ideally the ear of Nashville tastemakers. But the truth is that no one of note plays fanfare before the evening show. It's a scorching hot summer's day, and the fairground is barely half full. Many of the 20,000 or so fans are still in their campervans and RVs, which are parked next to the grounds. Their vehicles will be their base for the duration of fanfare, which only adds to the strangeness. It feels more like a grey nomad convention than a music festival. Fanfare draws a certain type of fanatic. It's a Stetson-wearing, big belt-buckled, trailer park free-for-all, a week-long celebration of all things country, where Music City's newest and shiniest stars gather to play infotainment-length sets to their gushing devotees. Sometimes old stages play fanfare too. The 1998 event is kicked off by the Bellamy brothers, the siblings who told us to let your love flow back in 1976. As the music flows, thousands of fans, cameras in hand, shuffle along in front of the stage, where they stop briefly and take their prized snaps before the steady arm of security swiftly guides them back in the direction of their seats. After playing, each act then retires to one of the fairground's huge, un-air-conditioned farm sheds to sign everything that's flung their way. CDs, hats, photos, you name it. All the while pushing their latest product. 2 years earlier, country king Garth Brooks, who'd play his part in the Keith Urban story, had spent 23 hours in a fanfare shed, signing, leaving only when his arms went numb and the crowd finally thinned out. No wonder he sold so many records. The guy truly knew how to connect with regular folk. In 2010, by which time the event had been renamed the CMA Music Festival and moved to downtown Nashville, Taylor Swift signed for 13 hours straight. Remarkable things happen here, things unlike any I've witnessed before. During this fanfare, country band The Mavericks take the stage just as the sun sets, with a full mariachi band in tow, turning the gig into a full-blown Tex-Mex party. In the process, they even blow away Brooks himself, who'd made a surprise appearance earlier in the afternoon. Few rock and roll bands I've encountered would pop up and play unannounced, yet Garth Brooks, who was a genuine superstar, did. Fanfare is like that.